What are you doing here? Is this a family meeting that...
Well, we did meet in church after all.
Yes.
And so it's tradition.
It's tradition.
It's tradition.
That was a long time ago.
A few years.
We met when we were...
4 and 5.
4 and 5.
And I've put up with you since then.
Playing tag in the church pews. So.
Okay.
So really, now, what are we doing?
But I have other things to talk about.
Oh, she has other things to talk about. Okay. What are we going to talk about?
Nick.
Yes.
Oh, you're there. Okay. It's almost 2018.
Really?
And it's so exciting, right?
I'm verklempt.
You're verklempt. No, you're happy.
I'm exciting. I'm happy.
There's a new song in the air. And as we herald in the new year, we have a sense of belonging to the future. And I want to reflect on this moment.
You're a future kind of girl.
I'm a future girl. You know that January is one of the few remnants of the heyday of the Roman gods. The god Janus still gets some recognition because January is a derivative of his two faces, one facing forward and one facing backward. He is often described as the god of gates and doorways and transitions. And every time we walk through a door, it is symbolic of walking into the future. I love that imagery. Just like when Isaiah reminds us to rejoice, that we rejoice in God's promise, that symbolic spring that brings forth beautiful shoots and blossoms in a well-watered garden. It is as if God is beckoning us to move forward into a world beyond what we know now. This is a fabulous time to look to the future and recognize the gateway of God's doing.
Future.
Future. Not to offend old Janus, but why in the world do we need to have a face that looks backwards? Who needs that?
Well, Deb, you may be right. This past year was depressing. And one that many of us would like to forget. However, it's true that the future is easier to see if you're willing to look back at where you've come from. They say that the roots of wisdom grow there, and these days, wisdom is in rather short supply.
Well, when you put it like that, I can't disagree.
Well, you know, there is another Roman that we might want to pay attention to. He wasn't a god, but the Roman philosopher Seneca had a few things to say that are worth remembering. Not that the people around him paid attention, but
he sort of like now.
Yeah. Seneca, you see, was big on remembering. He was big on examining the past. And taking time to learn from what had already happened. And he warned that those who were preoccupied with the present, with what's happening now, could easily stumble on their ignorance of the past. And if they are unwilling to examine their lives, he said, it's like pouring liquid into a bottomless container. It's utterly useless. There's no accumulation of wisdom, no chance to catch the wisdom.
Is there a parallel here to our present situation?
Well, wisdom is in a little short supply. Debbie, you know, when I look at this moment in history, I worry that we're teetering on a precipice. I think we really have to ask some serious questions of ourselves and of our leaders. Choices really have to be made, either to ensure our future or if we ignore the lessons of the past, pay the steep price. That's why I think looking back is so wise. Actually, I think wisdom is what the Holy Spirit represents in Luke's story of Simeon and Anna. Guided by the Spirit, they have the wisdom of years. They witness the history of Israel unfold during one of its most tumultuous times. And that enabled them to see in that particular moment when Mary and Joseph arrived with the baby that there was something momentous happening in the arrival of that little child in the temple.
You know, I love that story.
You do.
I do. It's a story of tradition.
Tradition.
The young parents who present their child dutifully at the temple to be consecrated to God, it's there where Mary and Joseph run into Simeon and Anna. Others had seen the baby, perhaps some of us.
Yeah.
But these two were the first to fully understand and publicly declare that Jesus was the Messiah. Old Simeon offered his long-awaited blessing and added something special in declaring that this child was to be a light to the nations. Then they ran into Anna, whose old but still vibrantly prophetic voice announced the redemption that Jesus would bring, a rather courageous public declaration in the face of the Roman occupation and the temple spies. I like these women prophets.
You do.
I do. This is not an inconsequential passage. The blessings and testimony of these two old people and their otherwise insignificant old people comes at a threshold moment in salvation history. That's what I love about it. It is precisely because Anna and Simeon knew the history of God's promises that they understood the moment as no one else did. They were able to see clearly what God was doing and played a vital role in ushering in this new little life, this still small voice. So few of us understand the moment in which we live. Don't you think that it would be a worthwhile exercise for us on New Year's Eve?
An exercise?
Well, I don't mean the one you're avoiding, but yes, the exercise, taking time to look back at 2017. Let's see what God has been doing and see if there is a role in it for each of us.
A role? I'm trying to be retired.
Oh.
That's a role. Right? That's a role I like.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I suspect there are a lot of folks who think that if God was behind this past year, their faith in God has shrunk, and they don't want any role in it if it's going to look like this past year.
Well, we all know that you flunked retirement. So blaming God for bad things is just bad theology. It reduces God into one of those Roman gods or even worse. Let's give God more credit. Take a moment and see if you can see some things in this past year where God might have been at work.
Okay. I'll do the exercise.
Good.
Well, you know, come to think of it, I think that the work of William Barber and the Moral Mondays that he's been doing and the Repairers of the Breach movement that he launched this year, I think that's a sacred thing. I think God was at work with William Barber.
And this church, too.
And this church. I also think God was doing something important in the Women's March.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That you went to.
I did.
And I think God is doing something important in the Me Too movement. I think it represents a sea change in the relationship between men and women. I think God is in it.
Do you think there's more?
Can you help me? Are there some things that you saw this past year where you saw the hand of God at work? Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Thank God for that. Alabama senatorial election.
We got very political.
Yes. Sometimes we have to name our demons before we can deal with them. Ah, the pastor search process.
Yay!
You think God was at work in that?
I hope so.
I think so, yes. And the calling of our new senator, Cameron, is just now 8 weeks away. 8 weeks and 3 days. The Children's Trust, that's fabulous. That's fabulous. There's something in that. Mm-hmm. We need to value that and see God at work in that, and don't we? Don't we? We do. We do. Well. Yeah.
This is all such wonderful stuff. I was listening as people were speaking, and I was thinking it over, and honestly, it makes me really happy to know what everyone has drawn out from the past. And maybe I'm even joyful. And you see, I was listening to your sermon a couple of weeks ago that was about all of this. We often hear the phrase right now about Happy New Year. We hear everybody saying that. Did you know, shifting the gear a little, did you know that Denmark is the happiest country in Europe?
I did not know that.
Oh, there's an institute, really, the unhappiness that says
an institute,
so.
Speaking
yes.
of research.
The Danes say that their happiness is due to their understanding of hygge.
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 Spell that.
H-Y-G-G-E.
Hygge. No, never mind.
But any way you want to pronounce it apparently is okay.
Okay.
And it has a lot to do with the presentation of light, of candles and firelight. It has a lot to do with coziness and contentment. It involves good food, good wine, good friends and family, some of my favorite things.
Count me in.
Okay. But not always, not the counting in part.
No.
But it's not all, it doesn't always mean that. Our well-being in this very cold and dreary world can also come for taking time for things, time that enables us to see goodness or maybe even a deeper meaning in what is happening rather than fretting over things that have gone wrong, if we don't take time to be with each other, to reflect on events, we can't hope to understand them, which has a chilling effect on us and all our relationships.
So reflecting on the past has some value then, doesn't it?
Well,
Miss Future Girl.
Yes. Miss Future, I agree.
Okay.
When we lose our ability to reflect, you convince me, or don't take time for it, we make bad choices. We're in a hurry and we say things that we regret later on. Or we push send when we really shouldn't. When we have no sense of history, we offend the future. But when we take time and make good choices, it feels good, like being enveloped in a warm blanket on a cold night. I like this feeling, as you know.
Yes, you do.
But I also see a risk in it. If I get too comfortable, too complacent, if I just sit in the comfort of what I know, I begin to avoid the threshold of action it invites me to cross. If I nurture this perspective that I have to be prepared to make choices based on what I see and how I pledge to follow through on them, if I yearn for the challenge that pushes and the freedom that calls me into the future, I have to be committed to the responsibility for the actions it implies.
You are such an activist.
Oh. Do you suppose that is what Simeon and Anna were doing when they publicly declared that Jesus was the Messiah?
Do you want me to see that that old man and that old woman were activists?
I do, in a way. Speaking out has always been an activist strategy. They were old and could have easily thrown in the towel, in other words, retire. But they were faithful and they were committed. They recognized that sacred and historic moment when Mary and Joseph came and entered the temple. They recognized the value of that. The Messiah was there, and they had the courage to say so in a way that truly amazed everyone around them. They weren't merely speaking to Jesus' parents, were they?
No.
No. The scripture says, Anna spoke to all who were looking for redemption, the redemption of Israel. If this has any relevance for us, Nick, we have to embrace Anna and Simeon's legacy. Is the search for redemption still underway? And if so, where? Each Christmas, the Messiah comes again. And in the days that follow, we have a renewed obligation to look for the ongoing work of God, our place in it, and say something about it.
Are you talking about 2018? Is this another exercise?
Exercises are good, at least 2018. You look back, now you need to look forward. What do you see that God is doing and could be inviting you to do next year?
Well, there's a lot, but I guess the thing that weighs heaviest on me is tackling the issue of hatred. There's something about it. It's like a cancer that eats away at the mind. It's something that destroys the heart. And I guess if there's something that I feel calling me, is I really feel like I've got to do something. I've got to do something to try and change the atmosphere. I've got to do something to try and change the relationships. You know, when I think of the issues of race, when I think of the issues of gender, when I think of the issues of Islamophobia and homophobia, that everywhere I turn, there is hatred, and it's being advanced in a way that is incredibly ugly. That's something I think for me, I have to hear God calling me to do something about.
We heard the word hate used publicly and across the news more often than I ever remember in my history. Yeah. So you might be right.
Are there things that you all hear God calling us to be doing in the coming year? Share our bounty. Yes. Just to ourselves to be better people. Yes. Yes, in darkness our lives have to shine brighter. Celebrate the diversity and the complexity of this nation. Yes. Yes. To open our wallets to do that. Julie? Yeah, we have some bridge building to do. Yeah. Catherine. To speak out and to do it in writing. That's good.
Yay.
I am particularly mindful of that. This is not in the script, but I have to show you my Christmas present. This is a special pen that was, it's a cross pen. It's a special
edition
that Debbie got for me. And it's made from a melted down illegal gun. And the serial number of the gun is on the clip. Swords into plowshares. Pen is mightier than the sword. In the back. The Churchill movie. Courage. We're being called to courage. Thank you.
I am amazed at this impressive list of things that people have shared and that actually we have been sharing too. Each one has the chance to offer the world a glimpse of redemption as we practice and do those things. The critical issue as we stand on the threshold of what we envision here is whether we will actually be able to do something about it.
You're right, Deb. The image of that elderly couple still being part of God's plan really is the lesson of the day, isn't it?
Yep.
For all the obvious reasons, we assume that the future lies in the hands of the young. And of course, for a dozen ways, that's true. But Simeon and Anna show us that at any age, we could be on the threshold of something big. If we just have the wisdom to recognize it and are willing to act on it. I always felt like God had a plan for me, even if I didn't quite see it. But when you reach retirement age, you kind of think that the plan is done. Not so with those two, Simeon and Anna. They had important part to play in God's plan well into their 80s and 90s.
I think too often we don't think we have a role to play or for that some reason we're disqualified from doing anything significant. We're too young, or we're too old, or we're too poor, or we're too busy, or too tired, or too something that gets in the way of really taking hold of the actions that we need to make.
Yes, we have a lot of ways that we manage to count ourselves out, don't we? But if there's one thing that I've learned in the last year, is that you can retire from a job, but you can't retire as a person of faith from your calling to be an agent of God's love in the world. If you take the time to recognize it, there's always something happening somewhere that we can get involved in to advance the kingdom of God, and it would introduce and give people a glimpse of what we mean when we talk about reconciliation and redemption and peace and love. With a little help from the Holy Spirit, we can realize that we're always standing on the threshold of a sacred moment. If Anna and Simeon have anything to teach us, it is this, that no matter who we are, we each have a blessing to give and a testimony to offer. If we ponder that, we should have a very interesting 2018.